Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing things that are not ChatGPT, I promise. There is news and feedback. Bob Iger is canceling stuff behind our backs without even letting us know what he's canceling, and I'm mad about it. All that and more right after this.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Jeff Randall, what's happening, buddy?
Matthew Carroll, I'm doing all right, sir. How are you?
I'm okay. Doing
just
well.
Just okay?
Yeah, the bad thing I've had this week, I feel like every... Okay, so normally, I feel like
something
from this
goes
show,
wrong for us every week, right?
Well, yeah, sure. One of us has some terrible thing happen to us every week, because we're whiny babies. But no, I what I was getting at is, like, you know, we always talk about our lives. I feel like there's been an inordinate amount of, like, old man talk lately. Like,
sure.
Like physical bodies breaking down. But along that line,
I'm not going to stop. I've noticed.
No. We should stop. It's making us sound old and, like, turning off all these Zoomers that clearly were our biggest fan base before. I've had sciatica, like, for a long time.
Sure.
Like, maybe 15 years. But it has always just been in my lower back. So yep. This week, I had a gig in Atlanta. I drove over there. I was running around doing this gig. And, like, my knee was killing me. And my hip was killing me in a way I've never felt before. It was like there was a hole, like a hollow chamber in my hip and a hollow chamber in my knee, and just like, you know, pulsing with pain. And yep. Like I was running, I was making it hard to walk. Like I was like, what is going on? And I thought it was just knee pain. So I did some like research. I was like, it's sciatica, which I'd just never had it extend that far. I've had it like shoot down my leg when I'm like standing up or something, but this was just like constant just pain in my knee and hip, and it hasn't gone away yet. It's gotten better. I've done some stretches and stuff that are helping, but like I need this to go away. This is really unfun. Like it's been a not fun time these last few days.
There was a point when I was desk bound. I mean, I've been desk bound for a while, but there was a point within, you know, being sedentary lifestyle, just sitting at a desk all day, where I got sciatica real bad in my right leg. Like starting basically at my right butt cheek, and just like everything hurt, like sitting, standing, laying down. I couldn't get comfortable any direction. The thing that helped me the most was getting a massage from like a professional who knew like what to do about sciatica.
Okay. Good. That's a good call. I know someone in town who does I'm saying healing massages, but not, they're actually a massage therapist that does like therapy, like grabs whatever you're doing and like yanks you. Like they're not fun. I've had them before. They're not fun. but they're very helpful. They made me feel a lot better. So yeah, that's a good idea. I'm going to call that masseuse. Good call.
Solving problems left and right.
That's what you do, man. You're a troubleshooter over there. Desk bound, you're still fixing problems all out in the world.
That's what I do, man.
But you know what's funny though is I started having pain in my butt cheek, as you mentioned, like that upper lower back, upper butt area, and like
the top butt,
the top butt. On my top butt. The thing that right before I started getting all the pain in my hip and in my knee, like I got my my fiance to rub the like upper butt, the top butt, as you said.
Yep.
Like I've never really had anyone rub it when it was hurting before.
Yeah.
And like I thought that would really help. I was like, hey, can you just rub right here? Like just really get in there and like maybe this will release some of that tension that
should make
and
it worse. Then
the next day is when like I had all that pain start. And nice. I was like, I think I got her to rub my sciatica and it made it way worse. Like I was like, that's the So yes, I think I should have left that in the hands of a professional. This is not her fault. Let me clarify. But she'll never listen to this. So it was her fault.
easy blame. There have been a couple of times where my girlfriend's like, oh man, your shoulders are so tense. Here, let me rub them. I'm like, don't stop it. Stop it. It hurts. It hurts so bad. Would you stop, please?
Oh, that's terrible, man. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, so to the Marvel?
To the Marvel?
To the Marvel.
Is that what we talk about here?
Yeah, yeah. So Bob Iger had some sort of investor's call or some such. And
like you do.
He had two big quotes that he had here. That this was the first one's on canceling projects. And he said, it's not an easy thing, but you got to make the tough calls. We've actually made those tough calls. We've not been public about it, but we've killed a few projects already that we just didn't feel were strong enough.
Robbery.
Yeah, this is bad news.
You ever had something stolen that you didn't know that you owned?
Yeah, and also like still don't know it's missing. Like, even now, but know something's missing. It's like I got a ghost MCU ghost limb going on here.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of like that that Dane Cook bit where he's like, I just kicked the door in. I didn't take anything. I just wanted to kick a door in. And so like the people are like, what did they take? What did they take from this house?
I remember that bit. Well, so this was all in the context of what they're doing to reevaluate all of the MCU projects going forward and how they're going to try to right the ship. And so I think it's probably good that they're making decisions, making the tough calls, as he says. But, you know, there's not one project I'm not excited for. So whatever this is, it will likely hurt my feelings a lot.
You've dashed dreams I didn't even know I had.
Yeah, yeah. I'm scared for, like, I'm really scared for Blade, because that one seems like
God, that one's been in development hell.
I know, and it had such a strong team around it. And Mahershala Ali as Blade seems amazing. And then it's just been, yeah, development hell. It's just hit all these walls, and I'm pretty scared because they're not mentioning it. And if something's canceled, it might be that. Of course, they were already somewhat in the process of that one. Maybe it'll come back, but it just seems to have already been delayed so much.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to cancel it if they've already made a hat for it, right?
That's a sunk cost fallacy if I've ever heard one.
I'm really banking on that sunk cost fallacy of the hat.
Yeah, yeah.
Specifically, man, Kevin Feige wearing the Blade hat.
I will be really annoyed if Blade doesn't happen, because like, okay, it's one thing that we haven't had these post-credit sequences pay off yet.
Yeah.
You know? And like, we talk about them, but most of them I think will pay off. Like, I think they will emerge in like Thunderbolts or Captain America, Brave New World. Like, I think those are big movies coming. Deadpool. Like, I think it's all going to collide together and we're going to get some things paid off. But the one where Mahershala Ali's voice is heard at the end of Eternals, if Blade never happens, I will be very annoyed that that's just like, oh, well, that's a post-credit sequence that just isn't a thing.
Yeah, like it was a post-credit sequence that promised good things after a movie that wasn't great.
Yeah.
And so like there was that promise of things are going to get better because we're actually going to do, you know, this story, which you wanted the entire time, but we didn't give you. And now And now, like, it might not happen. Maybe.
Yeah, that's the one I'm most worried about. And there's probably some, I'm guessing some of those TV shows we've heard about over the years have been canceled too, because we're just, it feels like we're not hearing about them as much. So
yeah, I worry about like the Ironheart series.
That's the one I'm worried about too. And I don't know why exactly. I guess just because Armor Wars turned into a movie. So hopefully that's still on. Oh man. I just, well, like,
with Armor Wars, we have to get resolution on like Rhodey.
Yeah, right?
Like, and so much Rhodey resolution.
Well, and that's part of the problem here is like Rhodey and Blade both have this weird thing where it's like they were in they were in properties that were not well liked.
Yeah.
They were the things we're excited about for the future, though. Like, we're so excited for, like, Rhodey to have his own movie with Armor Wars. But, like, it's all tight. If they're writing that movie, they either have to decide to ignore what happened in Secret Invasion and just, like, tell the next chapter of his story, like, and never mention it. Or they have to somehow, like, it feels like such a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they could jump far enough forward in time that he could just be like, oh, look, he's just living his life again. But like, it just feels like such a big deal that you need to address that last chapter where he was in a chamber for years and we still don't know from when.
Yeah, for, quote, a long time.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So that's upsetting all around.
Yeah, it's like it's a really big part, or it should be at least really big motivation for that character. But I worry that they might ignore it, kind of the way that newer stuff is like ignoring the snap, because like Shang-Chi, we believe at least after the snap, after the blip, but like nobody in Shang-Chi mentions it. And I kind of want to know what happened to, like, Wenwu and what happened in Ta Lo. Like, all of these other places. Like, what happened with his sister? Did his sister use the blip as, like, a way to gain power? Like, there's so many things. There's so much potential there. And they're just like, nah, we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's a... It's frustrating for sure, man.
I just don't want them to do that with Rhodey, is what I mean. Like, that's
yeah.
Roundabout way of getting there.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And, like, I don't feel like it's the right answer. I think that while Shang-Chi was awesome, it doesn't seem like tying it in and having a mention of the blip would have, like, cost it anything, you know?
Yeah. Not having it doesn't hurt the story necessarily,
right?
Depending on how much you have it in there, could bog down the story, maybe. But like, it's just a writing balancing act. Like, be a good writer, you know? Like, yeah. Do your job good.
Your job good. And that actually goes to this next quote from Bob Iger. He says, a lot of people think it's audience fatigue. It's not audience fatigue. They want great films. And if you build it great, they will come. And there are countless examples of that. Some are ours and some are others. Oppenheimer is a perfect example of that. Just a fantastic film. Focus is really important. We reduced the output of Marvel, both number of films they make and the number of TV shows, and that really becomes critical. But I feel good about the team. I feel good about the IP we're making. So I have said this many times. It's not about audience fatigue. It's about, you got to make quality stuff. It's all about it's quality. It's about
do your job good.
It's about do your job good. So that was prescient, Jeff. So thank you for that. Next up, we have this is a complete rumor. Complete rumor. We talked about it on Multiverse News last night, and I wanted to throw it in our chat here because it's. But I figured we might go a little deeper talking about it, because Multiverse News is about all the news this is just about MCU. So apparently a leaker who has a good reputation named Daniel RPK posted something that says the reported hierarchy of importance of the Thunderbolts roster. Ooh. And it says the first most important in the film is Yelena Belova. Next is Val. Then third is Sentry. Then fourth is Ghost / Taskmaster. Fifth is U.S. Agent. Sixth is Bucky Barnes. And seventh is Red Guardian.
Man, Bucky's taking a backseat to all these new characters.
Yes. And I feel like Bucky and Red Guardian are, you know, two of the most experienced on that team. And they are being pushed to the bottom. And I just, I wonder what that means for this movie. And what that means, even what importance means here. Is it screen time? Is it like, are they the one driving the story? One thing I like about this, if nothing else, if we're going to get a big, you know, movie with lots of characters, at least you have focus. So that's good. They've done that wrong in the past. And I think that, like, Yelena is a cool focus. I think that could be neat.
Yeah, I loved Yelena in the Black Widow movie. And when she showed up in Hawkeye, like, she was fun. She was so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, having her having her in scenes with Val and, like, having them, you know, do the word dance around each other would be great.
Well, and it makes sense based on the teases we've gotten for this movie. The fact that, like, again, this is all rumors, so I'm speculating here based on rumors, so who knows. But, like, the scenes we've gotten so far are U.S. Agent being recruited, and we were like, ooh, who's this Val? And then the next thing we got was Yelena being recruited by the same person. And so it feels like what we might see is, isn't that correct? Isn't that the order? But originally it was supposed to come out in the opposite order, I think.
It wasn't that Yelena was recruited in that scene.
Oh, she was working for her.
Yeah, she was already working for her. And like when Val showed up, she said, like, you're not supposed to bother me on vacation or something along those lines.
You're right. Yeah. Okay, so...
So she was given a target, like given an assignment, kind of like a personal assignment to take out Hawkeye.
Yeah, that's right.
Why would Val want that, though?
Right. Yeah. Like, I think if she's building her own team, she might want the Avengers out of the way.
Yeah, could be.
That might be like if all the Avengers, they've already lost two big Avengers, one to old age and one to death, three with Black Widow.
One to gravity.
Gosh. So they've lost three of the original six, plus Thor's out of this world. And, and Banner's like wearing a device that keeps him from changing. So it's possible that the old Avengers, she sees them like kind of moving away, and she's like, yeah, get rid of them, and then I'm going to build my own team that will be a replacement for them. So I guess that could make sense why she would be after killing Hawkeye. But I wonder if Hawkeye will show up in this movie, and if Hawkeye will know that's why Yelena chased him down, you know?
Yeah.
I need to rewatch Hawkeye, because that's a really good question.
Like, thinking on it, there's a lot that could be done with Val, because not only was she in those two scenes, but she was in...
Wakanda Forever.
Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
Yeah.
The things that she's doing, like, as, you know, director of the CIA, basically, and the deals that she's making with whatever other nations, like, that could lead to some really intense stuff. And, like, absolutely. Honestly, looking at this list, especially with Sentry in here... And, like, the way that Val is, and if you're, like, with you saying she's trying to replace the Avengers, I think we might get Dark Reign, but Val is in charge instead of Norman Osborn.
Maybe Val is Norman Osborn.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, it is. That's a good question. We have kind of always assumed that Val might be working for someone else, but maybe not. Maybe Val is... you know, the force behind the scenes.
Norma Osborn.
Norma Osborn.
Because, like, in Dark Reign, Norman was, like, constantly trying to, like, get Robert Reynolds, the Sentry, to, like, not have his dark side, or, like, not give in to his dark side. Like, he was working with him to try to, like, get him through that bad, that darkness, whatever. Really just to try to use him and manipulate him. But he was excusing a lot of the really bad shit that happened because of Sentry. Just like, no, man, it's okay. You know, you didn't have control of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're working on it. Like, it's going to be okay, bud. So, like, that really seems like a Val thing. She would want somebody as strong as Sentry on her team, under her control, under her thumb.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure. I mean, Val seems like she... it's interesting, because you had these two moments of her recruiting people / using them as agents, but then all of her appearance in Wakanda Forever seemed to be stating her goals, which is to give America the power of superheroes, you know, to give them their team, not just these Avengers who are going to do whatever they want. Not someone who's not going to follow these accords they want them to follow. They want, you know, a team that's theirs. It's going to be their team, America team. So yeah, I think
freedom team.
It's interesting, though, the Freedom Team, the America Team, you've got Yelena Belova and Red Guardian and Bucky Barnes, who was a, you know, a Soviet agent also for years.
And Taskmaster.
And Taskmaster. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it,
could it be? The majority of the team is foreign.
Yeah, exactly. Well, then could it be that she, like, is setting them up to fail?
Oh, could be.
Like, maybe this is the new Avengers in a way, in like the same sort of, this is the new international team that's going to do the stuff, and then they're meant to fail or somehow betray, and then sort of add to the xenophobia that we saw at the end of Secret Invasion.
You know, like the Thunderbolts team, when it was, like, officially recognized and backed and whatnot, like, in comics, it was a team of, like, reformed bad guys. So, like, it could just be that. Like, these are reformed foreign agents, you know, people that have converted to us. Sort of like the whole, like, the Manhattan Project, and, like, it was mostly German scientists, whatever.
Right.
So that same sort of thing, except foreign agents with, you know, added in, like, Ghost, U.S. Agent, Sentry. Like, U.S. Agent is there to kind of be the God, what's his name from the Suicide Squad? Joel's character. Is it Rick Flag?
Yeah, that's it. But that's the thing, is, like, maybe is she intentionally bringing people over whose allegiances can be played with? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, well, like,
if you've got a team of, like, reformed people, like, there's an understanding that, like, they might relapse.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So maybe you could blame things on this team.
Yeah.
Maybe this team could be intentionally set up to fail, and then that failure could be blamed on them in a way that, like, leads her to increase xenophobia or increase, you know, the protectionism that she's trying to instill. I think that's a good call. And Sentry having that, like, good bad dynamic, like the Jekyll Hyde situation, like, that could be how she's thinking about that character. Like, that, you know, Loki, when in Avengers, like, what's his goal? Like, who's his target?
You brought the monster.
Like, that line, like, what if Sentry is the monster she put on the team to really, like, set it off? And then you get your own team out in the field, and Sentry goes dark and, like, has to fight the team, and then it causes, you know, all kinds of craziness.
Well, she could say, like, either he's in control and we have a really strong asset on our team,
mm-hmm.
or he loses it and we get all of that public outcry and more funding, and like I get to tighten the noose.
Yeah. Mm. I think that's looking more and more likely looking at this team.
Yep. And honestly, like looking at this hierarchy that you have here, with Red Guardian being so much older than everybody else and mm-hmm. being at the bottom of the importance list, I think he might die.
Yeah, that's funny you say that. That's exactly what I speculated on Multiverse News yesterday. We were talking, well, Haley, we saw this list, and Haley Hobbs was like, I'm really worried about this list because I'm hoping this importance list doesn't mean they're dying, because I don't want to see Bucky die in this movie, and I don't want to see Red Guardian die. And I was like, yeah, I'm right. You're right. I don't want to see Bucky die either. but I could see him killing Red Guardian. Like, I think that's a pretty good call. Like, I think Red Guardian might go.
That would also give the, the conflict with Yelena of like, yes, he was a dick. Yes, he was an asshole.
Exactly.
But he was my dad.
Well, and we know Melina is there too in this movie. So, I think it's very possible, her being the lead of the story, it's possible they'll send him out on a mission. He will die. And then, she comes in, they form the full team, and it turns out that was sort of a, first mission, like the suicide mission she was sending them on, Red Guardian on, she now wants to send the whole team on something similar, and it ends up causing whatever what all the stuff we're talking about.
I
think that's very possible. And so she has to unravel the sort of like plot and unravel the sort of whodunit and like what's going on, the mystery,
the whodunit, but also her feelings about him.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then on top of that, it would be great. Like, he gets sent on suicide mission, not heard from, assumed dead. And then they go and they find that he wasn't killed. He was just captured and has been like tortured or whatever. And then is either like dies from the injuries right in front of them, or is killed by the bad guy right in front of them.
Mm. Yeah.
And then like, that would give Yelena and Alexei like a moment to like reconcile.
Yeah. This all sounds good. I like it. I hope it's good. I really hope that movie's great. I really hope that these next few movies that are coming out, there's just so many big swings in this list of like Brave New World, Deadpool and Wolverine, Thunderbolts, gosh, yeah, there's just so many big swings in there, and I'm really excited about it.
Fantastic Four.
Yeah, Fantastic Four being the fourth. Golly, that's a lot. That's a lot, man. next, this is a toy leak. I don't think it's a big spoiler, but sure. it is a toy leak for X-Men 97. We don't really talk
not that important a property to the MCU.
We don't think.
sure.
But I do think this toy leak is interesting because I'm excited for that show. I really am. It's Executioner, which is a character from comics, only in 22 episodes of the comics, or issues of the comics, I said episodes, only in 22 issues of the comics. He's an FBI agent that becomes a mutant hunting vigilante because he sees the destruction they have wrought with their battles, and he wants to kill mutants. And his shtick is that he adopts the weapons of the villains he's seen or faced. So like, sort of
like Taskmaster.
Yeah, reminds you a little of a Taskmaster, except instead of the moves, he's adapting the technology and the weaponry. So that's kind of interesting. They mentioned in one of the articles I read about it, like that it could be an Easter egg gold mine, because you could just have him using all kinds of weapons from across the Marvel multiverse or whatever.
Oh yeah, that looks a lot like Mjolnir.
Exactly. What the thing that is most exciting for me about this is the costume on the toy leak, because I looked and I compared it to like all the comics versions of the costume.
Yeah,
it just looks better, and it made
nice.
It reminded me of is that like these X-Men, these versions from the cartoon, are like a lot of our platonic ideal of what the X-Men should be. You know what I mean? Like, sure. They're the ones a lot of us watched every morning on Saturday. And the costume design, the character design was so spot on and cool. And a lot of times changed from the comics, but really, really good.
In good ways.
In good ways. And just looking at the comics version and this version, like, I totally think they did it. Like, they did the thing they did back in the 90s, which is, like, reduce the character down to a very simple and cool design. And, like, I'm pumped for the Executioner design. And it just gives me kind of faith in the property that it can, like, kind of recapture the magic.
He almost looks like Spawn.
Little bit. Oh, you mean the
toy.
The toy? Yeah. I can see that.
Like, with the black and white, just the eyes and, like, the, well, I guess it's silver, like, the silver pointy bits all over the face. Like, looks a lot like Spawn.
Yeah. I can see
it. And the red cloak. Absolutely can see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Red, black, and white. And, like, the silver accents. Like, that's very Spawn. Yeah. Yeah, I can see it.
And which I'm not mad at.
No.
Spawn was so cool.
Seeing the toys, too. Like, just seeing all the, like, stuff they're starting to put out for the toys and the this and that. Like, seeing those, like, 90s X-Men cartoons on packaging. It just looks so much like my childhood. I'm so excited about it.
Oh, man. And, like, looking at the back of the box, that long-haired Magneto, that, like, no-helmet long-haired Magneto that we saw in the trailer is there, like, looking beautiful.
Yeah.
But then there's also Goblin Queen. I recognize that name, but, like, I don't remember reading anything that has Goblin Queen in it.
Huh.
Apparently it's Madeline Pryor, though.
Okay.
Oof. That's heavy. Madeline Pryor is a clone of Jean Grey.
Madeline Pryor's toy comes with a baby.
Yeah.
Like, what's that about?
Yeah.
Like, the I don't know what, from comics, I don't know who her baby is, but, like,
So, she's a clone of Jean Grey, made by Nathaniel Essex, who we saw the name of, like, Essex Corporation in Logan.
Yep.
And I think it was the Essex House in Deadpool 2.
Yeah, and I think Sinister has been around in the X-Men cartoon animated series.
Yeah, right? He was in the cartoon. He had a crazy voice. but Mr. Sinister, Nathaniel Essex, made Madeline Pryor, and Scott Summers, like, fell in love with her, and, like, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they got married at one point.
Oh, man.
And did have a baby.
Okay, so this might be that plot line. That's wild. Okay, cool. Well, that's all fun. That's all very fun. Okay, so lastly in our news, Dakota Johnson came out and said she will never do anything like that again, and I think you all know what I mean.
The movie that I told you was going to be very bad and ended up being very bad?
Listen. I like to be hopeful. And I never said it wasn't going to be really bad. I was just excited to see if they could do some good weaving. Like, Sony has done this thing where they've made kind of bad movies mostly, but they were starting to put a universe together that I was getting like, okay, I didn't care about Morbius that much. There were some good moments in that movie, but it's mostly bad. It's kind of like all their movies are that way. They're like some good moments, some good ideas, but they're mostly bad. But then, like, if you put all of them in the same universe and you do some good tying together, I could get into it. Then Madame Web is just like the trash. Again, some cool ideas, some cool moments, but it's trash. It's just trash. And I've talked about this in this podcast already. I won't go into too much more detail. But she says she thinks the movie was made by committee and made by algorithm. Like, she's saying you can't make movies that way by committee and by algorithm, like based on what they think the audience wants to see or whatever. And then it was a very different movie than she signed on for. So, you know, Sony getting their fingers into it and not letting the artist make the art. But also, the more and more I learn about what's going on with the rights in Spider-Man and stuff, the more and more I think, like, parts of that movie, they had such a different plan, and then Marvel wouldn't. The idea is Sony, what Sony wants to do with Spider-Man is so different from what Marvel wants to do with Spider-Man. Like, you're here, you've heard about all this, right? Like, Sony is wanting to make another No Way Home. Like, they want to do another movie where all three Spider-Men team up. Like, that's their idea for the next Spider-Man movie. Gosh. They want the next Tom Holland Spider-Man movie to be another team up with Toby and Andrew. And that's a stupid idea. Like, I don't think it's a stupid idea forever. Like, yeah, another 10 years, do it again. Like, it could be fun to see those guys pop up and do something else again. Bring in old man Peter or whatever. You know, like, it could be cool. But, like,
let's not say old man Peter.
Why? Who's that?
Oh, no, just...
Oh, like a penis joke? Sorry.
Yeah, it's a penis joke.
Right. Okay, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. No, you're right. You're right. We already talked about our old man ailments, so we don't need to go there.
It's Spider-Man with sciatica.
He's got a case of the old man Peter.
I hate when that happens. Don't we have, like, a Hims ad to throw in there for that?
Yeah, you know, sure. Hims.com/MCU, you know, Hims.com/MCU. Whatever that deal was they offered you before, it's still there.
The same deal as before, just, you know, help you avoid old man Peter.
Yeah.
So bad.
Does not help with sciatica, unfortunately.
I tried.
I tried. Results were mixed.
Right. I did get to work my hips a bit. But it was still painful.
Oh, good one. Good one. Good one. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And be back with lots of feedback we've got on the docket right after this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
We are back.
And we're back. It's a bit, you got to commit to it, man. Come on.
You know, you commit to a bit for a while. Like, you know...
Clearly, you don't understand commitment.
You mix the bit up. No, it's the same. It's the same thing. My never mind.
Same thing your therapist said.
I was gonna say, like, same thing my fiance said. No, you commit for a while, then you mix things up. You know. She also didn't agree with that stance of mine.
Yep. Yep. I'm glad she doesn't listen to this podcast.
I know. This is great. Terrible. Okay, we're gonna read some feedback. Right. We got feedback. Some feedback.
We have things to talk about. The people are talking about. One of our patrons, Katie Elizabeth, says ChatGPT is vision 0.025. Noted. Well, I was born yesterday. Mm-hmm. This is canon, and Wanda will die on that hill.
Yeah, those were fun. The ChatGPT episodes were fun.
Russell Brill, another patron. Thank you for bringing up the issue with Shang-Chi. It was beautiful until they shoehorned a dragon into it, which had zero relevance. Spoiled the film for me.
This was interesting. I think the last fight in Shang-Chi has bothered me. But I never really considered the reason it bothered me. I always thought it was too CGI, not grounded enough. After a movie full of really cool martial arts, suddenly it just felt like kind of one of those like DC, like trash air fight type situations, you know, like just swirling around in a swirling mess of, this time it's dragons, but in other movies it's whatever.
Yeah. Pick your vortex.
But like, this is also a really good point, I think, that like they didn't, I don't think they did enough to set up the Great Protector and the dragon in that movie.
They mentioned it like once.
Yeah. And you don't really, like, I think that was a thing for comic fans, maybe, like the bringing out of a, and bringing out of a dragon is cool anyway, but like, yeah. If you had sort of like teased it a little more, then fighting a dragon and fighting with a dragon could have been cooler. But I do think it was like a little underdeveloped when it happened.
Yeah. Well, and like, you know, they mentioned the Great Protector, mm-hmm. and Tai Lo has like a bunch of dragon scale armor and dragon scale tipped arrows and, you know, staffs all kinds of dragon based weapons and armor. But like, there wasn't anything that was kind of like indicative of how they got those scales.
Yeah, there could have been some throwaway line about how the Great Protector's been sleeping for many years or whatever. Like,
yeah, like left us a supply of dragon scales, like, so that we can make these things, but we only have so much left.
Yeah, something like that. Something like he hasn't been seen in a long time or something like that. But he like he still protects this land or something, and they point at their shields, you know.
But that,
I don't know.
That would be really silly, though. The whole like, he hasn't been seen in however long. It's like, oh no, he was actually just in that pond over there.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody just swam to the bottom.
Well, like, I mean, that's just fair. You have something deep underwater. He's just been Nessie all this time. Like, you know,
some of us think he's a myth.
Yeah, it turns out the Great Protector lives in Loch Ness. Yeah.
Yeah. It was that there was a portal from that lake to Loch Ness.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Loch Ness was the other entrance there.
Yeah, and the opening of that, like, to the Dark Realm or whatever, where that opened his portal as well. He finally got to come back from Loch Ness. so stupid. But no, I think Russell has a great point. I hadn't really thought of it that way. I think the CGI is also bad. So I think that scene has multiple problems. Like, yeah. the it's always bad when your villain that you're fighting at the end of the movie is a villain that you haven't cared about. And I think his father was the real, like, thing to fight.
Yeah.
And he does. But then they're like, but you know, we need a dragon fight too. And I don't know that they did. I think they could have made the other fight, or even like, let the dad, don't kill the dad when you kill the dad. Like, let the monster come out and then have the dad fighting on the side of the monster. You know what I mean? And then still keep that heart of the battle going or something like that.
Sure. Or, I mean, you could have the dad fighting on the side of the monster. You could have the dad fighting against the monster with them because it's such a huge thing. And then, like,
Realizing his mistake and dying like a sacrificial death.
You know, he gets a quick redemption arc.
Yeah. There's a lot of ways that could have been better. And I love that movie, but there are a lot of ways the ending could be better.
Oh. Oh. I got it. I just rewrote the whole thing.
All right, give it to me.
That whole ending. The Great Protector hasn't been seen because it was killed. Like, it sacrificed itself to seal the dark thing, dark entity, whatever it was.
Mm.
And when a hero sacrifices himself, he will be, you know, when a hero sacrifices himself there in, you know, within that space, they will be reborn in the form of the Great Protector.
The evil one is like eating the souls of those guys. Like, the soul of a hero dying somehow feeds the Great Protector, and like it is reborn. And they can even have like, they can have someone there on site that's like been teaching her archery or whatever, who like could understand the lore and give us that little bit of exposition. You know, that could have been really good.
Yeah, you have to have the soul of a hero.
And then he realizes his dad died a hero. Like, that could be cool.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he falls into the water while his dad is being accosted, right? Like, up in the air. Mm-hmm. And he falls into the water. Shang-Chi falls into the water, and then he doesn't see it happen.
Yeah.
He just sees the dragon show up, and he knows. Like, he understands.
Also, you could get that great thing that is always fun when, like, Bucky and Cap use the shield together.
Yeah.
But they're using the rings together.
Oh, and like they're cool.
Both like activating rings and like transferring them from each other's arms and stuff.
Oh yeah. And then like using them, like one person flings the other person into the air with them, but like they catch the rings and then pull, and they just kind of like ice climber from from Super Smash Brothers, like their way through the air.
It's real silly.
They use the rings as like a rope to try to strangle the thing. They're like, they're, you know, one of them is on each end of it, and they're both pulling on the
there's a lot of cool ways you could fight a dragon with two guys using 10 of rings. You know, you could like have them split up 5 and 5. You could have them doing all kinds of combo moves. You could have them all doing, I don't know, it could be really fun.
Yeah.
Well,
it would also be really cool to see like the different ways that each of them uses it. Like Wenwu is very straightforward and like punch fist, basically shotgun from the fist kind of thing. Whereas Shang-Chi was very like flowy, you know, we're basically just going to use this as like a defensive shield and utility more than anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and also like you've also got the sister in there who also
With her rope dart.
Well, that, but also has desired the power of the rings as well. And what if you could get the three of them as a family, like sharing the power? Not only the two of them, but they all three like use the power and swirl around the dragon and do all kinds of craziness. Could be really fun. Could be really fun.
Could be.
Didn't happen. But it's a fun idea. It's a fun idea.
Okay, so trash talking the end of Shang-Chi aside. There's other feedback.
Lovingly massaging the end of Shang-Chi. I still love that movie. I've said from the beginning that the ending had problems. But like the beginning is so strong and the character is so strong. My fear for the character though is that now that he has the power of the Ten Rings, he won't be that cool, grounded martial artist that we saw him be for the first, you know, hour of that movie. And that, man, that first hour and a half is so much fun. All that, the fight on the scaffolding is like one of the best martial arts fights. Like, it's so good.
Yep.
Oh, I love it. One of the best MCU fights for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think that's all owed to, you know, that stunt choreography team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's bringing an entirely new dynamic to the MCU that we've never had before. And so, like, when it turns all that, and I know I said this during our review of Shang-Chi, like, whatever, 16 years ago. but
that's what it feels like.
It does. It does. But, like, you have all that magic happening, and then you make the last fight just like a big CGI powers fest. It's disappointing.
It's really funny that I don't remember you saying that about it when it first happened, and it's probably just because like I blocked out any negative things about it in my mind.
It might have been on a subsequent episode, but I definitely like had that take pretty early.
Oh, sure. I don't disbelieve you. I believe that you very likely had that thought. I just am pretty sure that I blocked it out.
That's funny. That's funny.
Anyway, so Jonah King says, "Hey, you guys." Jonah here. OMFG! This Deadpool and Wolverine trailer was everything we needed to start this new year in the right way. I just wanted to give my little bit of feedback to pick your brains. I think one part of the trailer with what looks to be Wolverine and Madripoor will line up and bring Patch, Wolverine's alter ego in comics, into play, because in the comics, Patch wears a white suit and is based in Madripoor, so that's a great thought to ponder. And did anyone else notice the Fantastic Four hover car in the convoy during the desert scene? I had to slow it down to 0.25x speed to see it, but that is definitely it, as well as the cupcake truck from Moon Knight and Red Skull's hot rod from Captain America the First Avenger. So many cool objects in just a little trailer. I'm sorry, I'm just too excited for this movie, but the main thing I would like to confirm and say is that that comic that was laying by Deadpool at the end of the trailer was definitely a Secret Wars 2015 comic number 5, God Emperor Doom, and I know that that's exactly what it is because I have that comic framed in my game room. This just opened a whole new can of worms for the MCU, and I couldn't be more excited. I hope y'all love the little info that I found, and also hope y'all are just as excited as I am for this new project. As always, love you guys 3,000, and always, imagine Deadpool stretching and saying this, maximum effort!
Love it. Thanks, Jonah. Yeah, I'd seen some of these things going around the internet, and they were things that I did not catch because either we didn't catch them or I wouldn't have recognized them from comics. I didn't know anything about Patch from comics, but I have since been educated that Patch is a sort of alter ego of Logan's when he goes and like plays cards in Madripoor and like a white suit and a cowboy hat kind of situation. Yeah. I love that.
Nobody's themselves in Madripoor. Madripoor changes you.
And I don't think I'd heard about the Fantastic Four car, hover car in that line of cars. I'd heard about the cupcake truck and the Red Skull hot rod, but I had not heard about the Fantastic Four car, and that's super fun.
That's awesome. I love that Deadpool gets to be the, like, let's bring everything together and just shove it all in there kind of movie. And, like, without even that being a problem. Like, in most cases, if you're, like, multiverse, and then, like, you have things showing up, it's like, okay, you shoehorned that, you jammed that in there, you kind of forced it. But, like, Deadpool makes sense that shit's just going to show up.
And it's the perfect tone for it to just show up and be like silly and fun. The other thing, he mentions this comic book being this Secret Wars, which is super fun because obviously it's what we're pointing towards with Avengers 6 or whatever. It's supposed to be Secret Wars. But also, I think it's funny because it's a comic book in-universe talking about talking about the events of that universe, which we know also in The Void, we're going to see the 20th Century Fox logo. So it makes sense that like the comic books themselves might be in this, like in The Void with him. I think that's super fun. I don't know, man. It's super cool. Love it.
Oh man. That makes me think like Loki being the god of stories now.
Mm-hmm.
He's the god of stories. So like, some of the best stories come from comics. And so like he would either make like present, produce, apparate. I don't know what the word is, what I'm looking for, but like he would create comics from nothing. Right.
Yeah.
To tell these stories, or he would procure them from other versions of reality. Users.
Well, and in Logan, we see there are comic books in Logan of the X-Men's experiences.
Yeah.
So like that God Emperor Doom comic could be from that alternate future or whatever, or a version of that alternate future where they wrote that comic book about Secret Wars that may or may not have happened in some version of the multiverse.
That's a good point though. The presence of that comic, especially like with it being exactly that that cover, kind of makes me think that they might not go for that exact same thing. They'll just kind of reference it, you know, being like, oh, that's somewhere in the multiverse, that kind of thing happened.
Yeah, totally. But like,
that's not our God Emperor Doom.
Also, it could just be that's from our universe, and maybe we'll see Kevin like sucked into the void somehow.
K-E-V-I-N.
Yeah. It'd be pretty good. That'd be really, oh man, if like there's different warring factions in the void, like we've kind of seen them like setting up these sort of like roving bands of like, it looks very Mad Max style with these different groups that are like living in the void and trying to survive, as we saw with the Lokis or whoever, if like they got to like, who is the leader of this one like band of people, and it's K-E-V-I-N, like he's like a robot like leading the charge. I don't know, that would be really fun. And he's like gone mad. I don't know, it'd be fun.
Oh shit. I have perfectly crafted this algorithm for us to survive.
Yeah,
you must follow this plan.
But it's like what's that, what's the character's name from Portal?
GLaDOS.
GLaDOS. Okay, I was about to say GLaDOS, but it didn't seem right to me. Yeah, it'd be like, but like GLaDOS style, K-E-V-I-N is like giving them pointers, but like leading them astray and like really just getting everyone killed.
Yep.
It's what the story needed. And like, he's like sent one of his soldiers off to their death.
You killed Alexei again.
Oh, man. So the TVA sends him out into the world to do something. He refuses the call, as he's wont to do. He fights the TVA. They prune him and send him back to, you know, whatever, to the void. And that's where he meets K-E-V-I-N, who, like, ends up, like, giving him sort of a real mission, like, because K-E-V-I-N can see all of the universes, like, and how they've been written, and so he helps him sort of rewrite the story to, like, that would be actually a way they could use the K-E-V-I-N robot, like, in a way that would be cool and interesting, and sort of like they did with, but like take his power away because he's in the void now, right? Like he's been pruned, so that universe no longer exists, the universe where She-Hulk visited. So like now it's like he's out in the wasteland and he's just kind of giving ideas to Deadpool of what Deadpool could do to like and that could lead to like Deadpool kills the Marvel universe, something like that. Like Deadpool, you have to murder this list of 300 people, and he prints out a list of people that Deadpool needs to murder to like fix the timeline and get his timeline back.
Yep.
Oh, yep. I don't know. It'd be really fun.
I love it. I love that. It's similar though to the end of Deadpool 2 when he was just like, let me rewrite this story. Vanessa doesn't die. Ryan mm-hmm. Reynolds never actually makes Green Lantern.
Yeah, it totally is.
It's basically that, except he's being driven by Kevin, or K-E-V-I-N. Right.
Yeah, like, he has the power to do that, but he doesn't necessarily know how to build that perfect universe, you know? Like, he keeps messing it up or something. I don't know. Anyway.
That'd be so good. All right, next up, Jithin Jacob says, hey guys, I was listening to the second ChatGPT show and I had some comments. I've watched Caitlin Dever in Last Man Standing and Justified, and she was great, especially in the first one. She was one of the best characters because of her character's dry wit. She played a similar role in Justified, but without the humor. But in both, she played a strong-willed young woman who took shit from nobody. Mm-hmm. She's going to play Abby in the second season of The Last of Us. So she would be interesting in the MCU. And about Oliphant in the MCU, he did a bit on Conan years ago that he was cast in Endgame as Captain Japan, a counterpart of Captain America from Japan, but his scenes were cut. It's a great bit and you should check it out.
Mm. Cool. I love Conan.
That's a great takeaway. Yeah, yeah. I still... I don't even recognize the name Caitlin Dever.
You guys talked about it.
Yeah, we talked. I remember talking about her, but I don't remember like what she looks like. I don't remember what else I saw her in the IMDb list. Like, she's just left my mind.
Yeah. Well, according to Jithin, she's great. So we thank you, Jithin, for that. Thank you for being our Caitlin Dever correspondent.
There's an Endeavor joke in there somewhere, but I'm not gonna make it.
Oh yeah.
Next up, Megan Graves says, good morning, lovely people. Megan doesn't know that it's nighttime.
silly Megan.
Anyway, she says, I was just listening to the episode titled We Embrace Our AI Overlords. In the episode, Matt and Jeff discuss how well James Gunn can handle movies with a larger cast like the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. Do you think The Eternals would or could have been a better movie if James Gunn was the director instead? I know certain things have to be followed per se, you know, i.e. the script, but I can't help but wonder if it would have been a little bit better with him behind the wheel. What do you think? Y'all are awesome, and I love the podcasts. Keep up the awesome work and have a great day. Megan.
Yeah, I do think that.
Yeah.
Just yes. Y'all have a good day. Peace.
Until next, what?
No. I don't want to say anything negative of Chloe Zhao. Like, she's a great director, and the movie is beautifully shot and like well done, but I do think that like putting that many characters on the screen was and not giving them the appropriate balance. And I don't know how much of it was her call, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't know, but I do think like at the height of his powers at Marvel, if he had taken on Eternals, James Gunn around the first one may not have had the power to say like, no, I'm focusing down on this character. But I feel like James Gunn after Guardians 2 or 3, like if they'd given him Eternals and said, hey, do what you want with it, like he would have done something that would have been more focused. But it wouldn't have been the Eternals that we know. They would have been drastically different in tone. James Gunn's comedic tone is so different, and I don't think that's necessarily what they wanted for those characters. They were trying to set up a very different dynamic for those characters.
Yeah.
So like, yes, I would have enjoyed that movie more than I enjoyed Eternals, because I think I enjoy every James Gunn movie more than I enjoy the Eternals, unfortunately. and the like go deep cuts, I still like James Gunn is just a really fun director, but I don't think that movie was trying for fun, unfortunately.
Yeah, because like the Guardian stuff is all about like it's usually a very personal story for them most of the time, and it's like and they get to be snarky assholes basically,
right? Yeah,
throughout the whole time. But Eternals is supposed to be like this big epic like saga about this group of people, you know, guiding humanity in, you know, and protecting humanity as like almost like a parental figure, and like not really, and like finding out that they're robots kind of gives them like, oh, that makes sense that they're humorless almost. You know.
I'm also just thinking about James Gunn as a storyteller, and this may have been a cooler or more successful take, but like I can't think of a James Gunn story that has a time jump in it.
Sure.
James Gunn tends to tell stories. Like he'll have a flashback here or there, but like they're generally very constrained. James Gunn tends to tell stories where like incitement of action happens and then the characters don't have a choice to stop until they resolve it. You know what I mean? Like then in between those stories, they can like live and have their lives and do the thing. Then the next one, some incitement happens and then you're sort of thrust into the story. And like, yes, that happened in Eternals, but then the flashbacks were so, such a huge part of the storytelling in Eternals that like, you know, we haven't talked about that as a negative of the movie, but like that takes you out of the main story. So when you think about James Gunn as a storyteller, he tends to tell stories where like, you're like, all right, you gotta hold on. You're the characters have to hold on and just make it through the story. And when you're constantly taking these trips to like ancient times, which can be very cool, you're sort of like interrupting the flow of the fact that, hey, what is going on right now on Earth? And they just had so much story to tell. And I it should have been one character and then give their sort of backstory here and there, show where they came from, but like without as much backstory and focus down on a character. That's what, like, you know, but that's, they got greedy, man. Marvel got greedy. They wanted to tell a like a very adult, slower story with 10 characters in it and try to give them all equal weight. And it was just too much. Like, they wanted to come out of that movie with like, here's your 10 new characters you can love and follow for the next 10 years. And it didn't work for us.
Except for some of them dying.
Yeah, that's true. So here's your 6 new characters.
Well, no. You're not wrong, because the Eternals in comics are reborn when they get destroyed. Like, it's hard to kill them, but they just get regenerated and pop out a new one whenever they get wrecked.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, we saw in Eternals, there were like, you know, rows and rows and rows of just like shells, basically.
Yeah.
That can be sculpted around.
They could, any of the characters that died could come back and all that stuff.
I think your description of the speed of the story is kind of, it's supported by, like, in the Guardians movies, it's always like, we have to go to the place now. We gotta go.
Yeah. It's always going from one place to the next. And yeah.
But then, like, in Eternals, it's like, hey, let's get on a jet and just hang out for a little bit. Like, go see what's going on with those guys. And like, oh, we'll go visit over there.
We're gonna get through this battle, and then we're gonna travel a while. While you, the audience, go and watch this film about what happened in ancient Mesopotamia.
Yeah.
It's a real, like, it really takes you out of that, like, that driving force behind the movie that makes you feel like the next thing is important.
Yeah, like, oh, we have a mission.
Yeah. So I think that's another reason. Like, his sensibility is so much different, it's almost hard to think what he would have done.
Yeah.
But I think all of the things we're saying are probably like clues as to what he would have done, maybe.
Well, they're clues to what he would have done, but what he would have done may not have been the best for that group of characters.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what we're laying on.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I would have liked the movie better, but I don't...
It would have been a disservice to the Eternals.
It might have been a disservice to the Eternals, and it might have been so similar to the Guardians that it might have felt derivative.
What if Guardians but doubled?
Yeah, exactly.
Here's Guardians with twice as many Guardians.
Yeah, exactly. We're the Eternals of the galaxy.
No, and it's Eternals of Earth. So, like, the amount of space that they're protecting is way smaller.
Yeah. Why you need double to get such a small area? Okay.
It's coverage, man.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. Thank you so much for joining us here on the MCU Cast. You can find us on the socials most places at MCU Cast or MCU Podcast, I think, on Instagram, MCU Cast everywhere else.
What about TikTok?
I do think it's different. I think it might be MCU Podcast on TikTok again, because MCU Cast was taken because we were slow to grab it.
Well, hey, kitten. She has taken to jumping up on my leg and then up onto the desk lately.
It's really cute. Yeah, TikTok and Instagram are both MCU Podcast, and the others are MCU Cast, I think, everywhere else. And, patreon.com/MCUcast. We're doing a patron hang on Sunday. So if you join at the $15 level, you can come hang out with us. We hang out with the patrons once or twice a month. So, fun time. Patreon.com/MCUcast. Anything else you want to tell the people about, Jeff?
Yeah, totally. You can cut that.
I won't.
All right. Yeah, sure. The on the 23rd on twitch.tv/strandedpandaTV at 4 p.m. Pacific, we're doing Legends and Libations, focused on the vernal equinox.
Very nice. And if you're a fan of those Oscar type movies, we over on Bingers Assemble, we just did all of our Oscars coverage. We talked about all 10 of the Best Picture nominees, and we talked about We had a predictions episode where we talked about a lot of the categories and what we think will win this year. And then that episode is actually dropping today. So if you just want to hear what we think about the Oscars and our predictions for it. So if you're into the Oscars, check out the Oscars coverage on Bingers Assemble. And, I'm also over on Multiverse News every week talking about the news. So, come join us over there and we'll be back soon. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3,000, my friends.
Add a berry blast off for your day with the new Berry Pebbles. A berry twist on a classic breakfast. Perfect for giving those growing minds a blast of creativity. With the new Berry Way to Pebbles. Yabba dabba do you with Berry Pebbles. Head to postpebblescereal.com to learn more. Yabba dabba do and the Flintstones and all related characters and elements copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.